Please don't explode. Welcome in. No funds allowed. I'm drinking a lager today.
Ooh.
It's not really my thing, but it is like 45 degrees here.
I was going to say it's probably cold. The sun is back out where I am, but it was cloudy earlier today and there was like a sprinkle of rain. So very exciting for us in California.
So it is municipal sweatshirt time. It's always polo season and for me indoors. I mean, I could sleep in a municipal golf shirt. I love this one. Yeah.
They also just dropped a cardinal red. And look, I'm not a Stanford fan or anything like that, but that cardinal is sick. I get the promos for it. I was like, we're going to text AJ.
No. It's funny you mention that because I got the email of the new stuff that dropped and it's been a week. We need to be repping the municipal gear.
Yeah,
go
exactly.
Check it out.
If you have a gift card and you want a gift card from winning our game day upsets, go spend it on the new drop because it is sick.
Normally we start our show, we end our show with random shit, but as the mics are coming on, I say to you that I almost got into a fight last night.
Yeah.
Now.
And I was like, a physical fight, and you were like, yes, and I was like, crack your beer, we're starting the show, need to know now.
I want to make something abundantly clear. I have been in my life it's never been me. I have never in my life started a fight. It's always been with my dumb shit buddies. Maybe two.
Okay.
I'm not a fighter. You know me.
If I had to pick somebody out of the two of us to be in a fight, it's more likely going to be me.
We have a friend in town in the Golden Tee world, and he's a big Guardians fan. So we go out last night for dinner and just to have a couple of relaxed beers, although he had more than a few relaxed beers, which is fine. And we're watching playoffs. The game, and there was a questionable strike ball call. And he reacted strongly. He's, oh, God damn it. This guy turns around at the bar and says to him, why don't you shut the fuck up, right? Like, I say to him, I go, well, why don't you, hey, buddy, I go, why don't you turn around? And he goes, well, your friend's an asshole. I go, well, he's not the biggest asshole here, clearly. And from there.
Which, by the way, very witty. Very witty. I'm loving every minute of this.
No. So he goes, this is the funniest part, right? Like, the next thing he says, he goes, well, what's your buddy drinking? Iced tea? And I don't know. He was drinking, like, Bullet and Coke. I go, and my buddy wants no part of this, right? No part of this. He wants less of this than I do.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm just having a whiskey. And I look in front of this guy, and he's drinking a giant, like a lime green looking cocktail. I go, are you drinking fucking Ecto Cooler? And he goes, as a matter of fact, that's what they call it. Right? This is like the weirdest thing ever. So now people are laughing and now he's getting more mad.
Oh no.
And my buddy has a hilariously, it's like the laugh of a 12-year-old boy. He giggles. He's like, and the guy goes, that's a stupid fucking laugh. And finally, I do get this. I go, look, turn the fuck around, eat your shitty pizza, drink your Ecto Cooler, and shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
He grabs his pizza. I thought he was coming over to me, and he walks right out. And it was, I got to say something. In that moment, I felt very alive, because finally this guy, my friend wants no part of this, just turn around. He was also wearing a Mets hat, by the way. At one point, I did say, hey, I'm a Mets fan too. No, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But I felt very alive. I'm not a fighter.
No.
I was joking with a friend today. Even the logistics of a fight, I would hurt for weeks. Even in a fight that went well, I would hurt my back, my hip.
Yeah.
No, they're still fighting at almost 40 years old. They're still fighting. But it escalated quickly. And again, not my fight.
So I will say this. About fighting. I don't condone violence. I think sports fights are stupid. Like,
very
especially
stupid.
Especially in baseball when they run out of the dugout and the bullpen. I find it to be very hilarious. And then everyone just like stands off. I will say, when people disrespect the people that you are with or the people that you love and care about, is when I get way more fired up than if someone were to like disrespect me. Like, I get way more fired up if someone runs into somebody else or is like rude. Especially rude and disrespectful just because that's what bothers me. So that is a perfect example of like, that's the prime time to be like, listen, especially if your buddy's not someone to like stand up and be like,
oh,
hey.
God, he's so harmless.
Yeah. And that's, you know what? That's okay. And I respect that you were a good friend in that instance. And I respect that guy was smart enough after his drink to leave.
All right. I don't have many skills, but you're not going to outwit me in that situation.
I was going
to
say,
I'm going to outwit you to death, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to outfight you. I won't. I'm going to hurt myself. But along the way, I'm going to get in my verbal jabs that is going to piss you off.
Yeah.
So I got to be honest. I felt a lie, though. Maybe I should do that more often. Now, let's talk about football. Let's talk about Oregon. Let's talk about Ohio State.
Let's talk about the greatest sport in the world. Oh, just that weekend, once again, just delivering every single weekend.
It doesn't stop. Now, I got to start because the topic that has endured from this game is Dan Lanning and putting 12 men on the
game. Yes.
Are you surprised? Well, I'm going to leave my opinion out of it. I want yours. Are you surprised that he basically, in like the most smuggest way possible, like owned up to it? And college football, of course, is like, oh, fuck, this is, we can't have this. Are you surprised at all by this?
No. Because again, like that shows what makes a difference coming to play for him and playing for somebody else. Ryan Day is a great football coach, okay?
Yes.
But like what kids see and the 100 recruits that were at that game saw was him using whatever he could that's legal to win. Now, I mean, you could say some Michigan fans are probably chiming in right now going, you know, there's a lot of things that we did legally that, you know, but you didn't get punished for it. You won a national championship because of it. That's the thing. But to me, that was showing how much he cares, how far he's willing to go, how creative they're willing to get. And in this day in college football, you have to be willing to do those things and use every competitive advantage you possibly can. Now, Ole Miss fans probably arguing, we're faking injuries and that's something that, you know, we use as a competitive advantage. There's lots of loopholes and there's lots of things. And until they make rules to ban it, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. And I know it sounds hypocritical because of the Michigan thing, but again, I think that's a little different than knowing what was actually happening in plays and things like that.
It's very interesting because of the rules folks respond in a big way when this shit happens. It reminds me when Sam Hartman fake slid a few years ago. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And that shit was banned like immediately.
Yeah.
So this was clever in terms of the putting 12 feet. There's so many situations where this is going to fly.
No, he said it's like a very, it's also so rare. Like it's so rare that you're in this situation.
So beyond that, this was an unbelievable football game between two really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the couple of takeaways, the skill position talent in this game was exceptional. These wide receivers, the running backs, like, but when you look at the way Howard played at the end,
and that picture.
You and I have picked this team, I'm going to keep saying it, to win the national championship. I'm not changing that pick. I don't think you are either.
No.
The play of Howard at the end is a little concerning.
Yeah. Oh, that was alarming. For someone who's played for as long as he has as well.
Yes. I don't know what to do with that. He played a pretty good game otherwise, by the way. He played really well. On the road. I mean, he did a lot of really good stuff. It's just, not great.
And then there's the picture of him like looking up and seeing that the clock is expired, which is like so incredibly painful. One thing I will say that drove me absolutely crazy on our Sunday show, and this is where we give you guys the behind the scenes, reading some of the comments of people like, I doubted Oregon. I absolutely doubted Oregon. I said on this podcast, I said on that show that I thought that Ohio State was actually going to beat the crap out of them based on what I had seen from this team leading into this game, okay? Which I believe is a fair assessment, all right?
Yeah, then they struggled with bad teams.
Yes.
They struggled with bad teams.
And so we get to this show, and obviously Oregon wins, and there's Oregon fans in the comments. And I say, you know, and I think Oregon should be the number one ranked team in the country this week. It's obviously going to change again, and I think Texas will get it back this week, whatever. I think that's how it should happen. But I also say, hey, I really thought that this team was going to get obliterated. And, you know, I apologize, Oregon fans, for not really believing in what you guys had in front of you. And the comments were like, wow, trying to like cope with your like bad take and all of this. I'm like, first of all, if the other part that we didn't factor in was that Dan Lanning literally pulled something out of his ass to make sure that they won.
Yes.
And yeah, he had the competitive advantage over that. Ohio State, still a very good team, still a very close game. Oregon did not play perfect at all, but neither did Ohio State. That's the thing, is that it was like, whose miscues are going to cost them this game? And it ended up being Ohio State's and not Oregon's, because at first it looked really bad. So I will say to those haters out there who are sitting in the comments, like,
of which there are many,
if you thought that Oregon was going to win that game handedly, or if you thought, you know, oh, there's no way they lose this game, I'm going to call bullshit, because to me, if you watched, I'm not saying they didn't have the potential to be the team that they were on Saturday, but they have not shown it. So expecting that to happen is, when they have not shown it for the first six weeks before that, is kind of strange. So I just wanted to get that out, because I was very upset with the comment section on Sunday, sort of acting like they all knew that this was the Oregon team that we were going to see take the field, and Dan Lanning's genius coaching was going to be the difference maker.
Yeah, I mean, it's an Oregon team that struggled with Idaho. They struggled with Boise State, although Boise State looks pretty good. Mm-hmm.
They struggled with Hawaii, though, this week a little bit before they covered, by the way.
Yeah, no, they've not been great, but that's what makes college football great. And it's perfectly normal to react to what you see and say, hey, the thing about Ohio State, to tie a bow on this, the defensive backfield was supposed to be one of the strengths of this team, and they were torched. Not only did Oregon throw for a lot of yards, there were a lot of guys just running completely free in the open field.
Yeah.
Not many teams can do what Oregon does on a weekly basis, especially at home. That's concerning. That is a concerning thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Speaking of concerning, fucking weekly segment at this point, USC, Lincoln Riley, they lose to Penn State. They were up 2 touchdowns early. This is kind of becoming a thing. And like,
yeah,
God damn it. They started the season so well. You think about the win against LSU, which looks like a good win now. You think about the moments against Michigan.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of like, this is what they do. They lose games that they shouldn't. What the hell do we do with Lincoln Riley?
I don't know. And I think, too, last week when we were talking about this game, I was like, I literally couldn't tell you who's going to win this football game. Because, again, both of those teams definitely tried to lose that football game, because Penn State did not play well either. But those are usually the games that I think USC has now become the new Penn State.
Oof.
In the sense that, like, you are now. And also the embarrassing part of this whole thing is that, like, realignment, really, like, the first domino of, like, major realignment, yes, of course, was Texas and Oklahoma, but USC and UCLA coming to the Big Ten was, like, the first huge, surprising domino, okay?
Yes.
It was not like, oh, we slowly but surely got reports. It was, like, happening. You then come to this conference, and you bring Lincoln Riley there to lead you through this. And now this is what is happening. It is kind of embarrassing. And I'm hoping that Lincoln Riley can figure it out and adjust. I don't think, I think they could still be a problem for teams like Notre Dame, you know what I mean? And cause issues in terms of playoff. Playoff is out of the question for them. And when we were doing a preview for the season, I was like, USC has potential to be better off than Penn State, and they've just chosen to lose these very, very close games towards the end in really ugly fashion, in games that they should be winning. So,
three losses by 13 points, one of which came to Minnesota, a game they simply cannot lose.
What are you doing?
They cannot lose. And
well,
so,
the other part is regrouping from that, too.
I have thoughts on USC this week, by the way, because I think I actually think the next couple of weeks are potentially trouble, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
I think now.
Oh, I think this now, if it, Lincoln Riley's best coaching job will be able to keep this, will be mentally keeping this team in it, mentally keeping this team in this season and not letting it spiral so bad, because that's what's going to keep your job. That's what's going to keep, because like, as much as people think that he's safe, and we've even talked about this, like, you know, I don't really think he was going to be on the hot seat if he had a bad season, but if you let this spiral out of control, it will absolutely land you on the hot seat.
I do want to hit one more thing before we do some mid-season check-ins, which is crazy that we're doing that, which is Cam Rising. Okay.
The floor is yours again.
All right. So Cam Rising attempted to play against Arizona State. He got hit on the first or second play really hard, was clearly not right, and could not throw the football. Whatever's going on with his hand or his finger, because Utah's just absolutely full of shit every time we get to try to get a reasonable update. And now he's out indefinitely. And there is the possibility of exploring yet another year of eligibility, which would be his eighth year. Now, I want to make something clear. He has not said this, that he wants to do this. In fact, the general vibe is that he won't do this. He should not do this. Like, I feel terrible because he's really good. And the Rose Bowl injury was horrible. His knee injury was way more serious than we thought. He missed all of last year. The kid's been through the ringer. But at some point, like, this is not... And I'm not in a position to tell a college kid don't do this, by the way. So, Cam, you want to tell me to fuck off? I'll fuck right off. But yeah. I do wonder at what point this becomes an insane activity to be participating in at the collegiate level. Like, right? Well, like, why are we doing this still?
And also, why would Utah let this continue to happen? Like, if you want to be in winning an auto bid to the college football playoff, putting your eggs in his basket is not smart. I don't think that I think if he did have another year of eligibility, I would hope he would maybe go somewhere else, because I feel like if you're Utah, you say there's not a spot for you here. Sorry, thank you so much for what you've done. But like, to your point, that could force him into an undrafted free agent situation. You know, if people are willing to just pay a little bit of money to see if he can stay healthy. But it's like, it's not fair to Utah. Like, it's not fair to other people on that team. And I feel like Kyle Whittingham at some point needs to be like, nope, this isn't the best for our program.
Now, this is a bad comparison, but I'm going to make it anyway. Taysom Hill at BYU had a very similar college career. I think he had four season-ending knee injuries, or all injuries. Snake bit would get going. And obviously, like, you know, same shit, right? Like, oh my God, I can't believe he's still doing it. Left college when he was 25. Now, Taysom Hill has had a remarkable NFL career where he's a quarterback, he's a tight end, he's on special teams. Cam Rising is not that guy. But Taysom Hill, for the most part, has stayed healthy and made a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
If that Cam needs a change, like, again, and I am not the one do what you want to do, sir. Do whatever you want. I agree with you on a change of scenery, though, regardless. Go to X school and try it. Because if he were to get another year, by the way, there will be a market for him. Because he can play when he's healthy. And it's why not this year? And we've seen it with Taysom Hill. We've seen it with others. It's more of a Utah thing than it is a college football thing. This relationship and the weirdness of how Utah delivers this news and what they do is just not working for anybody. It is time to stop.
Totally agree. I also, I did say it on our show on Sunday, but I will also give props to ASU and that program. It has been awesome. Fun to watch. After the experiment that they had. I'm happy
proud
for it's just because I'm happy for college football, and I'm happy for the Big 12 that we have more competitive teams included in that besides those schools. I really hope they lose Arizona this year. Other than that, I don't care what they do.
Is Dillingham going to get a big job? Like,
He'll stay kind of like Lanning, in the sense that one, that's his like home that's like where he's from.
Yeah.
And so that, again, where the college football is different than other places in the sense that you can really sell a place like that when you've experienced it and you love it there. I also think like you have Arizona is an easy place to sell kids to come play. You may not have like Lanning has the like Oregon factor and the Nike factor. Like Arizona and ASU have the Arizona factor to come have people play, and there's plenty of money in that NIL. So I'm not worried about him leaving to go for other jobs. He will certainly be asked to come do those jobs for sure. But I think he ultimately stays there and kind of builds something really great, which is not necessarily great for my program, but I certainly think he stays.
He is like a big kid out there who is a brilliant.
He's just happened to be there.
He's happy to be there. He's brilliant at what he does. He got a quarterback in Levitt who was really good.
Yeah.
Now, it'll be interesting down the stretch. They have a tough game at Cincinnati this week. They play at Oklahoma State.
Well, and Levitt's not playing this week.
Levitt's not playing this week. They have UCF at Kansas State, BYU in Arizona.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I love this team, but their schedule is fucking nasty down the stretch from a Big 12 standpoint. Still, they're one game away from bowl eligibility, which is crazy when you look at the sanctions and all the other crap that they went through. I agree with you. This is a great story.
Yes.
All right. So, mid-season, it is the middle of the college football season somehow. Absolutely mortifying to think about. Where do you want to begin as we take inventory of this?
Let's start with Heisman, because this Heisman race is a fun one.
Yes.
I think there's so much left of this season to determine who will genuinely be the front runner, and I don't know that we'll I feel like every year we go into, you know, the ceremony in December and we're like, we know who's gonna win, they should win. I feel like this year might actually be kind of close, like closer than we've seen in a while.
I agree with you. It is not a normal year. What's really interesting, we could just start with the odds, right? Ashton Jeddesy is the current favorite at +210. Dylan Gabriel +320. Travis Hunter, who was injured but is going to play this week, it sounds like +550. Then you get to the stream of quarterbacks. Cam Ward +650. Jalen Milroe +1200. Carson Beck +1600. Cade Klubnik, holy shit, there he is, playing in the mix. Good for him, by the way, +2000. Quinn Ewers +2200. Then you get to Nussmeier, Aller, Jackson Dart, Rourke. Chris Rourke, by the way, Indiana. Shout out,
Indiana. Shout out, Indiana. Picture.
So, I really don't think there's much debate right now that Ashton Jeddesy is the Heisman, though. Like, I mean, the numbers, which I have in front of me, 126 rushes, 1,248 yards, 9.9 yards per carry, and 17 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck who they're playing against.
Yeah.
It is insane to me what he's doing. So
I wish that Colorado could win some. I wish they won last weekend. And I hope that they can win some staple games on the rest of their schedule to put Travis Hunter in the spotlight, because I think having a player like that is so unique. But again, Ashton Jeddesy is going to definitely be the front runner from here on out, because nothing's stopping him. I will say, Dylan Gabriel is probably the only quarterback that could win it. I know that sounds weird because of Cam Ward, but I just don't think there's enough. Like, again, if Jeddesy still does his thing, even if Miami wins the ACC and is in the playoff, they're not going to be the number one team in the country, barring any crazy thing that's happening. I just don't see him ending up winning. I think it'll be a really close, like, I think Oregon and Dylan Gabriel have a much better chance of, he has more Heisman moments. I guess that's what it is like Dylan Gabriel has way more Heisman moments available to him than I think Cam Ward does.
Well, and this is the problem with Jeddesy too, because you look at the schedule, They play UNLV next Friday at UNLV. That's an awesome game. That's actually an awesome spot for him, too, because UNLV is legit.
Yeah.
San Diego State, Nevada, at San Jose State, at Wyoming, Oregon State. You got to be honest. At what point, so even against Hawaii, Gentry ran for 200 yards and what, two touchdowns, had two total touchdowns. And we were like, eh. So at what point do we become like numb to the production, which I'm not saying is right. I'm just saying it's real.
But also, he plays late at night. And I know that people don't want to believe this, but I'm quite the Heisman conspiracy theorist. And if Christian McCaffrey was not being watched on a Stanford team that was there's a chance that there are Heisman voters that are not, that are seeing the numbers and are certainly paying attention, but they're going to be watching Dylan Gabriel more often. And they're going to be watching Colorado games against their will more often than they are Boise State games, which is incredibly unfortunate. And I'm not saying it's right, but that is the nature of this award.
I've done it with DeMonta Smith. I want Ashton Gentry to win because I think it is huge that a group of five running back group, not just group of five, but a running back can be that spectacular that we're just like, fuck it. This is the Mike Trout MVP award. We don't really care. Let's just give it to him. Maybe the craziest thing, Ashton Gentry stat, by the way, I can't help myself. He's played six games. His longest run in each game, 54 yards, 75 yards, 64 yards, 68 yards, 70 yards, 77 yards. It is Looney Tunes, Looney Tunes. So every running back record, I don't know, catching Barry, probably not. But there are some really goofy situations.
I mean, Christian did the all-purpose.
Well, 1,248 yards. I mean, 2,000 if he stays healthy is like a fucking given.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Like he's going to, if he stays healthy, everything is in front of him. I'm excited. I agree with you, though, because Dylan Gabriel now has got the win, and they're going to win a lot of games. Their schedule is not that bad. He's going to keep doing his thing. And he's really good, too, by the way. I mean, I want to be clear. That's who I picked to win the Heisman.
Yeah, I was going to say you have the ticket. But again, they play like other ranked teams where like this is going to matter. So they play Purdue this week on Friday, obviously. A weird place to play. Thought about touching that game gambling-wise, not going to. Then they play Illinois. Then they play Michigan at Michigan. So again, if Michigan's not the same, you're going to the big house.
Yeah.
And then Maryland, Wisconsin, and then you play Washington. So like, we again need to do these awards for postseason, I think. Either that or we need to create a postseason award system.
I like that.
Wow. Wait a minute. Because we expanded the playoff, why do we not have like postseason awards?
We should.
Like, I know we have them for like the specific games. So like they do like the most outstanding player offensive defensively for certain bowl games.
Yeah.
So maybe bowls wouldn't love this, but I like the idea of like this person was the MVP of the entire college football playoff or.
Like bowls have any say in things anymore. They're just there for gambling enjoyment. And we love them for that, by the way. Negative.
Bowls still are technically what are the playoffs, so they do have some say. But
those bowls do,
yes, the other bowls do. But there's more of them.
Yes,
but yeah, I think there should actually be some postseason all playoff awards. Which would be sick.
I agree with you. Now let's talk. I actually saw some odds, and I was going to share these with you, but you put this in the doc already. Okay. Let's talk college football playoff. And ooh, I guess national championship.
Let's play the game. I'm ready.
All right. Now this is hard. I want to do a.
Oh, it's not.
Okay.
I can already tell you how the people feel. I could probably give you the top 12 teams right now.
Well, that part. Well, okay. If you want to go there, we can do that first, and then I'll do to make the playoff odds because some of them are fucking hilarious. So let's...
Well, isn't this to make the playoff odds, like the top 12 teams? So who would make
the playoff? Yeah, but they don't organize it all that well. So, okay. But well, let's go national championship odds. Who is number one?
It's still going to be Texas.
Texas is plus 370.
And they're number one?
They're number one. You are one for one.
Yep.
Who is number two?
Is it still Ohio State?
It is. Two for two. Okay. Plus 450. Number three.
Oregon.
Correct answer is Georgia. Barely.
Barely. I was going to go there. I was going
to
go there.
I just don't agree. I can't wait to talk about Georgia, actually. And we will. So Georgia is number three, and Oregon is right behind it, plus 550. So they are more or less, you're still spot on.
Okay.
And you would have had Georgia, too, so you're four for four.
Okay. Then Miami?
Miami is 2, 4, 6, number nine at plus 22 to 1.
Wow. Penn State?
Penn State is number six, so you jumped one spot at plus 1,400.
Are people still giving Alabama the...
Yes, they are. Plus 900. You're doing well, by the way. All right. So you have Texas, Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Alabama. Can't wait to talk about them, too. Penn State. And then you've got two teams you're missing.
How many?
And you have Miami. So you have seven.
Okay. So then there's going to be other...
I think two similar colors and two teams that you'll get are next up.
Two similar colors.
You'll know exactly what I mean charade plays out. Yeah.
Okay. So those are they're above Miami.
Number seven and number eight are missing. And then Miami is number nine.
Clemson and Tennessee.
Yeah. All right. In that order.
Wow. They have Clemson above Miami?
I mean, Clemson has looked fucking good.
I mean, I know, but like, you know how,
It's close, though. I do. Plus 1,800. Tennessee plus 2,000. So the outcome of Tennessee-Alabama this week is
going to change
some shit.
So honestly, that's great betting advice, is like, get your odds now for whatever team you genuinely believe will, because that's going to change.
If you're a big believer in Georgia, now is the time. And if you're a big believer in Texas... Now is the time, because plus 370, if Texas plows Georgia, which I think they are, is probably not going to be around for a while. So we've got...
Wow.
Okay, so you've got the top nine.
Yep. Hold on, I can probably get more.
I think you can.
Are they teams that are undefeated right now?
No. None of the teams are undefeated.
Wow, so no respect for Iowa State.
Iowa State is 80 to 1. They are number 14. So there's a huge jump. Iowa State's not getting any serious love to win the Natty.
That's funny.
Which is not surprising, but
is Kansas State above Iowa State?
Kansas State is right below Iowa State at plus 100. They're 110 to 1. But they're up there. They're right there.
I don't think Ole Miss would still be...
They are right behind Miami. What are you...
This is crazy. People have such faith in craziness. Is LSU there, too? Then?
That's next. Plus 35.
Wow. So people put Ole Miss and LSU above Iowa State. And even probably Indiana.
And one more team above... Actually, two more teams above Iowa State. But the 12th team, this one will make sense.
Was it?
Nope, they're down a couple of slabs here.
Okay, so we had the two SEC teams in LSU and Ole Miss.
I could see, this is an interesting one.
Is it a Big Ten team?
Nope.
Is it an SEC team?
No. You're asking a question that's probably going to throw you in a really weird direction.
Is an ACC team?
Sometimes.
Oh, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You're like, they're not in the conference.
Well, and they are 40
to 1. I just forget about Notre Dame. Until you join a conference, I'm not going to think about you.
And then the next team up, which is actually very interesting, is Texas A&M. A&M is
another SEC team.
Another SEC team.
Wild. I understand the reasoning. Here's why. Because, again, when you're looking at college football playoff,
yeah,
like schedule-wise and strength of schedule-wise, they're going to use the SEC as you know, a marker of a much stronger strength of schedule. But we talked about this a little bit. Like, Big Ten teams should be getting a little bit more respect. Big 12 yes. teams should be getting a little bit more respect. In that aspect, not the ACC. Sorry, ACC. We love you. But
well, and so I want to. We don't have to do the guessing game because this is weird. I've been fascinated by these odds. So in the 12-team playoff era to make the college football playoff. Now there's two teams, Texas and Oregon, currently the two biggest chalks are -2,000 to make the college football playoff. Right.
Okay.
Ohio State after their loss -1,200. Penn State, -750. I found that very interesting. Although, after going through their schedule today, I'm like, yeah, like, they could be even Penn State this thing. Miami, -230. So, they still like them. Clemson, -175. They like them a little less.
Those two will get in.
Notre Dame, -150.
I know.
Alabama, -425.
So, I want to talk about Notre Dame for a second, because you and I talked about this the other day. Like, their strength of schedule to start the season was laughable.
Yeah.
Laughable. Even though people were in my comments being like, you're hating on Notre Dame. Now?
Yeah.
I mean, Army-Navy? Hello?
Army-Navy. Georgia Tech is not a bad team. They play at USC,
who,
which
by the
is
way,
funny.
We'll cover.
What? Oh. Spoiler alert. What's really interesting, like, the Navy, Army, Notre Dame little triangle is going to really influence the college football playoff in huge ways.
Like, it is.
It like two of those teams could make the college football playoff, which I think is fascinating. So, Army and Navy, you know, I'm working on a story for BR this week of like why a team will and won't make the college football playoff. Like, Army and Navy are legitimate. Army, I've watched, is really fucking good. I mean, they are a fun team to watch. They look like a force. Notre Dame is going to have its work cut out for it. But if Notre Dame wins, they beat Louisville, they beat Texas A&M, that Northern Illinois loss is still fucking horrible. But Notre Dame is suddenly, I think, in a pretty good spot, despite how bad that loss is.
I'm going to make a prediction with Notre Dame. I think they lose another game that they're not supposed to lose.
Oh, let's do this game. You think Georgia Tech is winning, covering, or Notre Dame's covering?
I said I think Georgia Tech is covering. I don't necessarily think they're going to win that game, but again, could be a perfectly good example of a game that Notre Dame should probably win and doesn't.
Oh, at USC feels like a nice one.
Yep.
They're not going to lose to Virginia. They could lose to Navy or Army, but like those are good teams. We'll like.
But again, if you lose, what if they lose to both?
Then they're out.
Then you're out.
Then they're out.
Or you lose to USC, and then you lose to one of those two.
So
I think they will have three losses. I'm sorry. I know that they've looked a lot better, but I just don't.
I will say, we bet Ohio State at the start of the year. Well, I'll ask you this. If you had to do it now, what would you do? Would you bet a different team? I mean, Texas has been the best team in college football pretty convincingly. I'll say that.
This sounds weird, but if I were going to bet another team, it would have been Georgia. It wouldn't be Texas or Oregon or Ryan Blake.
I might get in on more Ohio State at +450.
I believe in Ohio State right now, but I'm saying at the beginning of the season, I wouldn't have put money on Oregon or Texas.
No.
Now I would, obviously, but I'm saying I would not. I went with Ohio State. I'm gonna stick with Ohio State. But I because also hard to beat a team twice in 1 year. So if Oregon and Ohio State end up,
you know, it's funny, right? I was talking to some Ohio State people, and they're pretty level-headed about like, hey, they lost to a really good team in a crazy environment in a fucking great game. That shit happens. Play in a neutral field and see where it goes.
Yep.
Right?
Okay.
If it is a neutral field. I'm assuming a neutral field.
Well, one thing we did not talk about is that Outson Stadium is insanity.
It's awesome.
And I love that the love that it got from college football fans this past weekend was really great. Not mentioned in this was that my fiance was at the game and went on the field after Oregon won. Very cool experience to have, but it was insane. I mean, there were tons of fans there that are West Coast football fans that wanted to be there for one of the biggest games. I saw AJ Hawk on Pat McAfee say that they've been planning for this game as Ohio State fans for like as long as it's been booked. You know what I mean? Like, this is very much something that people wanted to see. So to your point, like being on a neutral playing field in a neutral environment would be pretty interesting.
We overreact to these games.
Yes.
Like Ohio State lost. And Ryan Day just doesn't wear these kind of losses very well. But shit happens. And yeah. Ohio State is actually fine. They're fine.
People are really gonna hate this. This is like a perfect example of like Georgia's lost and won national championships. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, it's okay to lose.
Yeah.
It's just the whole 14, 12 team. I don't want to do it. No, let's talk football games. Now, I have Texas and Georgia in my locks, which I think is very rare. I don't fuck with these games normally in my locks, but I'm fucking with it today. I have. You know what's funny? I get shit from people on Twitter when I post my locks. Like, why do you pick?
Just the way you phrased that was funny.
It's like an old guy. How do you do, fellow kids?
I will say this game, you and I have spoken a decent amount about it already this week. And I know it was Oklahoma, okay? After watching Texas's defense.
I know.
I genuinely think that they're going to handle business against Georgia. And look, I was wrong against Georgia 4. It's going to be a close game. It's not going to be a blowout. But that defense is very, very good. And what we've seen from Carson Beck, I don't know. That's going to be very disruptive to him. Very, very disruptive.
I don't disagree with you, but I will save my conclusion for locks of the week. Now, okay. I do not have a pick in Alabama, Tennessee. But I am interested because it looks like Alabama's got some steam in this game. Alabama is now, it looks like, a 3-point favorite. They're up to -3. So the line opened at 2, went to 2.5, and it's now at 3. Also been some steam in the Georgia line. We'll talk about that. Are you surprised by this at all? Like, are you surprised that people have faith in Bama?
No, because they watched Tennessee almost lose to Florida. So
fair.
Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? We have a very good friend of ours who writes for BR in our and is in our writer sphere for Bleacher Report, who's a big Tennessee fan. He has not been to a Tennessee game in a minute and went to this game and was like, this is the worst. Yeah, it's very hard to have faith in Tennessee. I think it's less about having faith in Tennessee or less about having faith in Bama and more faith in Tennessee not showing up for this game.
Tennessee has not played well in a month.
Yeah.
Right? Like, at the Oklahoma win, in hindsight, 25-15, not great. They lost to Arkansas, who's playing some decent ball. And then you could have and should have lost to Florida.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. And then you look at the rest of the season. Okay, you beat Chattanooga. You crushed NC State in a game that had a bunch of fluky shit happen. Maybe we were a little ahead of ourselves with the balls.
Yep, which is hilarious. Other games that I don't know if you have in locks, but I do. Obviously, Miami Louisville is another one you talked about. You do have that in locks?
I do.
Okay. Again, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech. I just never trust Notre Dame to win games they're supposed to. Kansas State, West Virginia, another one
I have
that Kansas State needs to win. So, all right, we can go ahead and do locks. Let's go.
Yeah, then we can talk about what other fucking weird games exist. All right, me or you, or do we want to trade off?
You know what? We can trade off. You go first.
All right, I will start. I like Louisville +5 versus Miami. I actually like this. This line has come up. It was 4 and now it's 5. As weird as that is, as a gambler, I would have actually been happier if Louisville stayed at 4 because the sports books are saying, hey, bring us in the cash. Now, okay. Louisville has broken my heart already. I bet them against SMU. They were not great. They were not particularly great against Virginia, which is what makes this line so interesting. Who is Miami, right? Miami, when you look at who they've beaten, though, Paige, okay, they crushed Florida, fine. Florida A&M, crushed. Ball State, crushed. South Florida, not very good, blowout. Should have lost against Virginia Tech. They should have lost against Cal. Louisville is the best team of those three, even though Louisville hasn't exactly looked like it at some point. Brohm is a really good coach. This is a major coaching mismatch. Let's just be honest. Brohm is a much, much better coach. This is a Brohm win more than anything. I actually think Louisville wins this game outright. Miami gets an L. So they cover the 5, and I like him on the money line, too.
Okay, well, I'm going against you, and I have Miami -5.
Jesus Christ.
I just was waiting for you to finish, and I was letting you do your whole spiel and get it out. Yep, nope, I'm taking Miami.
Well, we'll just move on, and I'll just... Yep. Arkansas +3 against LSU.
I like that.
Okay, so LSU, I did bet on them last week. They won me money. It was fun. They did not lead that game against Ole Miss until they won, which is crazy. Ole Miss did some really dumb shit. Arkansas is playing some ball.
I want this so bad. I want this upset so bad.
This is going to be about as red of fucking Brian Kelly face as you get all year.
Yep.
I really think Arkansas is in a great position to take advantage of an LSU team that, after a huge win, is probably going to have a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I like that a lot. If I had to tail any pick, that would be it. I'm taking Missouri -4.5 versus Auburn. It's at Missouri. Auburn's not good. I don't know why. I don't know why the line is what it is. But 4.5 is just ridiculous. I know Missouri has not looked great, but they.
Yeah, Auburn's bad.
That is a Missouri win. We are fine.
I am gonna do the thing again where I bet West Virginia at home.
Love
under
it.
The same circumstances. They're +3 versus Kansas State. West Virginia came out, was up 7-0 against Iowa State. That game was looking very good. I had a really good week, like locks of the week for Bleacher Report. Like, finally had a good week last week. And I was like, holy shit, can we run the table? And then West Virginia threw 2 terrible interceptions and just shit the bed against Iowa State. Kansas State had a weird week. The Colorado game, there was not a lot of good things. Avery Johnson got hurt in that game. I still think West Virginia is pretty good. I think this home field is going to really... I think Kansas State's going to be shook in this environment. This is one of my favorite plays of the week. West Virginia, we're doing the bullshit again.
Yes. I'm going to take South Carolina +1.5 versus Oklahoma.
I like that.
South Carolina's been in so many close games that they could have won. I really like them versus Oklahoma because Oklahoma is not a good football team. Sorry, Oklahoma.
This is... That's a mess of a game. In the best possible way. And actually, I forgot I put this in my main locks. So I'm going to take Florida State. I'm going to do them +3 versus Duke. It's fair. Brock Glenn, when he played against Clemson, actually played pretty well for Florida State. They looked a lot better. I think Duke is full of shit. They have one loss. Florida State can't buy it. It's a Friday night game. It's the perfect Friday night game. Florida State, I've bet them a couple of times this year, and I believe them 0 for whatever. They're going to win this game. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be fun, but Florida State +3. And again, I like them outright.
I took Georgia Tech +12 minus Notre Dame. So we already discussed.
Are you surprised that spread is as big as it is? Like, it's a...
Yep. Yep.
I don't... Georgia Tech is good.
Yeah, I think it'll be certainly less than 12 points. I don't necessarily I'm not fully betting the Georgia Tech money line, but I will take the points.
Last but not least, Texas -4, -5, -whatever against Georgia.
I like that. Minus whatever.
Texas Open is a 3.5-point favorite. I loved it then. So did a lot of people. So the line has come up, and the books are not holding back. They're just moving the line. I don't think Georgia has the goods. I think this environment's a mess. I think Texas defense, you hit on it, number one defense of college football right now. And Quinn Ewers, who didn't play a great game, is going to be fine. I don't think Georgia gave up 31 points to Mississippi State, who's fucking trash. I mean, this is double digits. This is double fucking. This could be a beatdown, quite honestly. I think this could be. I don't think Georgia has got it. I think Kirby knows it. And this is the kind of game where you get exposed.
Yeah. So a very, very gross bet that I am making.
Yes.
Is Michigan, Illinois over 43.5 points.
Why do you do this to yourself?
I don't know. I honestly, it's why? Actually kind of embarrassing that I'm doing this to myself. I should just take the under like a normal person. But for some reason, I just really want that over. Just it's low. It's low hanging fruit. It's kind of like Iowa unders. You know what I mean? Like it's just low hanging fruit, I think.
What? You mean Iowa, fresh off a 40 burger?
Yeah, congratulations.
I'm betting against Iowa this weekend, by the way. Wow. I like Michigan State plus 5.5. There's only one other game, a little bonus lock, because we talked about it earlier. I really like Maryland plus 7.5 against USC. This is like danger zone. It's like a sleepy game. Like it just seems like trouble. You lose a heartbreaker, and then you got to go to Maryland. At least it's not 11 a.m. game or noon game. It's in the afternoon. I think this is where USC starts to like completely fall apart.
All right.
Sorry, Lincoln.
Well, there are locks of the week. What do we got for any other random shit? I know you had a birthday party for Olivia and a sleepover. How did the neon party go?
The neon party went very well. I had 10 girls sleepover at my house. 10, 9, and or 10-year-olds or younger. They were, first off, girls are so much better than boys on this front. Okay? Like, truly, they're polite. They're not as loud. They can be loud, but they were very pleasant. If this were my boys, having boys over, it would be like Lord of the fucking Flies.
Yeah. There. Have you seen the Tom Segura like stand-up about that? It's literally true. That.
So we did the thing, and it is my daughter's birthday. It's the month of birthdays. You got when is your birthday? Is what, early next week?
Yeah, Monday next week.
The earliest of early. Happy early birthday to you from me and all of our faithful listeners. My other random shit is I'm currently unable to access my Twitter account. So, all right. I got a new phone. My phone broke, and I had like the verification on my Twitter, and I forgot to port it over. And I've had this happen before. So I've really been without Twitter for like 3 days for the first time, and I can't tell you how long. All right, a couple observations. A, I realized how much I rely on Twitter for
information.
Just information.
Camaraderie,
community.
Yeah.
News, all that shit. But on the other hand, I feel like I have been a lot more present without Twitter. It's been an interesting social experiment. I was talking to you when we were like offline. I said like, I'm struggling. It's truly like I had like an emotional, like a reaction. Like, oh my God, what the fuck am I going to do? But now I'm kind of like, oh man, this place is largely a shit cesspool and the fucking election's coming up. It's going to be terrible. Like, I'll get it back if they ever respond to me.
Yeah, it was hilarious though that you like you were talking to me about it, but you weren't saying like, oh, I like literally lost access to my Twitter. It was like, oh, I just like can't log in and like I'm trying to get in. And then you're like, but honestly, it's been really tough. But it is. You get like this sense, especially when you cover sports, it's really hard because you just want to know what everyone else is saying too. Like you have your thoughts, and then you're like, okay,
if I don't have
and
it
there's
back,
news on there.
If I don't have it back by Saturday, that's gonna be rough. I'm gonna really struggle. So I need to. I'm assuming I'm gonna have it back. If you know anyone at Twitter, help or X, fuck, whatever it is.
Now they're never giving it back to you.
Now I'm never getting it back. Like, But well, like, I was like, let me just message somebody. Well, I can't get into Twitter to message anyone. It's actually, now that I'm talking about it, I mean, it's giving me anxiety. So in any event, I can't do it, but I miss it and I don't. I will be back, though. If you've responded, if you've messaged me on Twitter, I haven't responded for whatever reason.
It's not because
really
he doesn't love you.
I'm really sorry.
Flood his DMs so when he does return that you just have so many.
Oh, my
You're
God.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. How about you? Any random shit?
No, not for this week. Nothing crazy.
It's good. Nothing crazy is good. All right. So, well, first again, happy early birthday to you.
Thank you.
I hope there's wine in your future.
There is.
Good. And what a week, by the way. What a week of college football. We've been we've had a couple of bangers in a row.
This one's going to be one.
Say, come join us on Sunday at, what time is it?
It's 11 Pacific.
It's 1 Central, 2 Eastern. We covered the time. It's going to be, we've had a lot of fun breaking down the AP poll. And officially, on Tuesday nights, come playoff time, you and I will be doing BR's playoff reaction show, which is basically the AP poll on steroids. I love that show because it becomes scenarios and it's a much different show than fuck the AP voters. Although we can do that with the committee as well.
Yes.
So in the meantime, we've got a couple AP poll reaction shows left. Come join us on Sunday for extended no punts. But for Paige, I'm Adam. We'll talk to you guys next week.